Blog Talk Radio.
Bless his holy name, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. You can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to say a short prayer or to reflect on a Thanksgiving prayer. A Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is
glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. Lord, please give me the wisdom to be a good listener. Help me listen carefully to my family, to my friends, and most importantly, to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want to know what he looks like? He looks like you. What will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever need. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus
looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, your love is eternal and your laws are everlasting. When I obey your commandments, I am blessed. Today, I invite you to reign over every corner of my heart. I will have faith in you, Father. I will sense your presence. I will accept your love. I will trust your will. And I will praise you for the Savior of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
All the praise belongs to you.
Amen. Praise God. Lord, make me a woman of wisdom and discernment. I seek wisdom, Lord, not as the world gives, but as you give. Lead me in your ways and teach me from your word so that in time my wisdom might glorify your kingdom and your son. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music as well as our prayers. Amen. Praise God.
Of his righteousness, redeemed the victory.
Amen. And now it is time for our devotional message. Praise be to God. In Matthew 6 and 22 in the NIV says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. This year, at my annual eye exam, I could barely read the big E at the top of the eye chart. I was quickly referred to a Cornell specialist, at the Cleveland Clinic. After examining my eyes, the specialist said, "Well, the good news is we can fix the problem. You need to have corneal transplants in both eyes." He examined what to expect and asked if I had questions. He explained, what to expect and asked if I had questions. "How much improvement is likely?" I asked. "It should be dramatic," the doctor said. A few days after the surgery on my first eye, my vision was as sharp and as clear as crystal. I kept walking through the house and yard just to look at everything. It all looked new and distinct. The lines of objects were crisp and printed words bolder. I was fascinated seeing the before and after difference by alternatively covering the repaired and unrepaired eye, the change was stunning. 6 weeks later, the second eye was done with similar results. I had worn glasses since age 13, and now that both eyes were restored, the outcome was dramatic. My eyes were perhaps better than they ever had been. Thrilled with the results, I began to notice another change. Everything was brighter. The sun, the moon, stars, lamps, television screen, city lights, everything. And as my whole being was flooded with new light, I began to notice a difference in my spirit, attitude, enthusiasm, and even peace of mind. Another surprise. Yet even more dramatic is the incredible gratitude I have for these gifts given to me. Praise God. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you beyond words for transplant donors who bring new life to others, and for skillful surgeons and medical teams who do the dedicated replacements. And most of all, God, thank you for guiding every step of the process and for your healing grace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Praise be to God.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are. The fullness of his blessing, nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain. As far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and he's coming in the clouds.
Oh,
Dear Lord, make me a woman of constant prayer. Your holy word commands me to pray without ceasing. In all things, great and small, at all times, whether happy or sad, let me seek your wisdom and your strength in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say. Lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify if you know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice. Come on, somebody. Celebrate the arms of God.
Dear Lord, the Bible is your gift to me. Let me use it. When I stray from your holy word, Lord, I suffer. But when I place your word at the very center of my life, I am blessed. Make me a faithful student of your word so that I might be a faithful servant in your world this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. A
whole
king, a carpenter.
You are
the living
word.
Awesome ruler.
Gentile redeemer. God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
That's what we call
you. You were born in a
Amen. Praise be to God. Dear Lord, I will place my hope in you. If I become discouraged, I will turn to you. If I am afraid, I will seek you. I will seek strength in you. In every aspect of my life, I will trust you. You are my Father, and I will place my hope, my trust, and my faith in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Praise God. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. To God be the glory.
Home. What's up, dog? Yo, man, I heard, man, they were telling me that you ain't rolling with us. What's up with that? Listen, man, I'm over here, man. I got a C, man. Let's do this. Let's do this, bro. What up? Rob? Are you there?
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now at this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. And yourself?
Blessed, thank you.
Amen. Hold on a moment. I left my eyeglasses in another room. I'll be right back.
Okay. And God bless our caller this evening. How are you this evening?
Amen. Fine. Thank you.
Oh, that's Miss Valerie. How are you?
Yeah, I had to get on my other phone because last week this one blew out, cut the minutes for the select calling.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't get it on my, I don't get it. It's regular. It's select call.
This one sounds so much clearer.
Oh, this phone is better. It's free too.
Yes.
I had to pay for the select calling.
Oh, well, this one is so much clearer. I could hear you.
Okay. Well, mute me.
Thank you.
I don't want to make too much noise. I'm taking coffee. I just got in.
Okay. We're just waiting.
Good evening,
for... Oh, okay.
Good evening.
Okay. Good evening. How are you? Glad you could join us. We're going to open in prayer. Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more again. You and your humble servants come together at this 7 o'clock hour to give you praise, glory, and honor. Father God, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before. We thank you for the sunshine and the rain, the birds and the bees. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Bless the ladies on the line and any other people that I'm not aware of. Bless them as they come and as they go. Heal them if they need healing, whether it's mental, physical, financial, spiritual, relationally, in any way that they need to be healing, and that's all of us. So I thank you for doing it, Father God. We thank you for your unconditional love, your grace and mercy, your favor, oh God, all your benefits. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So God, thank you for all that you are and all that you will ever be. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And again, I thank you for who you are. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son and our Savior, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So we're going to pick up where we left off, which is chapter 42, the person of Christ incarnate. And we're at section C, part 2. Talking about Lord and God. He was given the names and titles of deity, and second part is Lord and God. There's too much noise in the background. Jesus is called Yahweh in the New Testament, a clear indication. Oh, I bought the glasses, but I didn't change them. Okay. What? Thank you. I can see that.
I know how you feel.
Wow. Okay. So, Lord and God, Jesus is called Yahweh in the New Testament, a clear indication of his full deity. And what does that mean, full deity?
Full power.
There's too much noise in the background, Valerie. Mute your phone, please. Say what?
Jesus, what page are you on?
286. Section 2 at the top of the page. What's deity?
He's the divine God.
All right. But is it only one deity?
No, it's the three. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Or Holy Ghost.
So God.
Yeah.
That's what deity implies. God.
God.
All right. And that we see in Luke 1:76 and Malachi 3:1, Romans 10:13, and Daniel 2:32. He is also called John. Evangelist, would you please mute the other phone?
Yeah.
He is also called God in John 1:20-28, and Hebrews 1:8. And Lord in Matthew 22:43-45, and King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelation 19:16. So who are we talking about?
We're talking about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, right now we're talking about Jesus.
Yes.
And it says Jesus is called Yahweh. He's also called God. He's also called Lord. And he's also called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So all of this is about Jesus. All right?
Okay.
So let's take a look at Luke 1:76 first. Luke 1:76.
Okay, 76 says, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. Amen.
Amen. So who is he talking to here?
That's Jeremiah is talking to his son, John the Baptist, saying that he's going to...
Well, we're in Luke right now. We're in Luke.
Yeah, Luke 1:76.
So you said Jeremiah.
It says, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. So that makes me think that this he's talking is... I think it's Zechariah talking.
Oh, that's what I'm asking you.
Oh, yeah, I said the wrong name. I meant,
right,
I don't know why I have
you.
Jeremiah on my mind, but I'm thinking Zechariah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Zechariah talking to his son, telling him that he's going to be the prophet to prepare the way for Jesus.
Amen, amen. So what was Zacharias, Zacharias' son called?
John the Baptist.
Amen, John. Okay, we're going to look at Malachi 3:1.
Malachi, you're making too much noise.
Who?
Malachi. Don't you have your book open? Malachi.
Oh, I'm going in and out. I can't hear too well. I mean, you keep breaking. Somebody's breaking up.
Well, I'm the one talking.
Malachi what?
Malachi 3:1.
Okay, and where are we in the textbook? I didn't get that in here.
286.
Okay, thank you. Malachi 1 and...
No.
And
chapter 3, verse 1.
Oh, okay. 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts.
Amen. So who are we talking about here? Who are we referring to in Malachi 3 and 1?
Okay, my phone went out. That's my phone echoing. Like I'm using another phone. Was that John the Baptist? Zechariah sending John the Baptist?
The messenger. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now we're looking at Romans 10 and 13.
Okay.
And he's a messenger for who?
Evangelist, Sister Barbara, I don't think my phone is acting right. The minutes on the other phone, the select minutes cut off. So I'm going to join you on next week. I'll get some more minutes on my regular phone. Because it's breaking up too much. It's already fully charged, but it's breaking up still.
Okay, but we hear you very clearly.
Okay, but
all
if
right.
It breaks up again, I'm just going to leave the meeting.
Okay.
Because it's breaking up on my end. Could you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fine, I'll stay.
Okay.
Hello? Okay.
Romans 10 and 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
So who are we talking about here?
Here we're still talking about John the Baptist.
No. Who is the Lord? John the Baptist?
No, it says, for every one who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Mm-hmm. So who are we talking about?
We're talking about Jesus.
Right, not John the Baptist. We're talking about Jesus.
Right, okay.
All right, so let's look at Joel 2 and 32.
Joel
2 and 32. That's right after Hosea, if you don't have it.
No, I don't have it. The mark. Habakkuk. Hosea. And Joel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Joel 2 and okay,
32.
2 and 32. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion in Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. Amen.
Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Jesus. We're still talking about him. Amen. Now let's go to John 1 and 1.
John.
Skipping all through the old and the new.
Yes.
John 1 and
1. Good day. John 1 and 1. John 1 and 1. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still talking about Jesus.
Amen. And so who is the Word?
The Word is if I say Jesus, then you're going to say, okay, the Word is God. It's God's Word, Jesus' Word, is both of them.
But right here, we're talking about the Word being who?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus is the Word.
Yes.
So John 20 and 28.
Okay. John 30. 28 says, "My Lord and my God," Thomas explained.
All right, and who is he talking about?
Jesus.
Right, because he didn't believe, right?
Right. Oh, doubting Thomas.
He wasn't there.
No,
he wasn't.
He wasn't
there when Jesus was telling them all of those things that would transpire. So he didn't believe because he wasn't present. And he said, except I put my hand through, you know, the nail print and through his side, I won't believe.
Exactly.
And upon doing that, he said, my Lord and my God.
Mm-hmm. Because then he believed.
Who else could do that and still be alive?
Nobody.
He crucified and still lived.
That's right. Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but.
That's right.
Hebrews 1 and 8.
Eight says, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So now, but to the Son, he says, okay, so we're still talking about Jesus.
Right. And I just want to read the message. It says, but he says to the Son, you're God and on the throne for good. Your rule makes everything right. You love it when things are right. You hate it when things are wrong. That is why God, your God, poured fragrant oil on your head, marking you out, as king, far above your dear companion.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That was beautiful.
Beautiful. Matthew 22:43-45.
Okay, Matthew 22:43-45. 43-45. Jesus responded, then why does David, speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit, called the Messiah, my Lord. For David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies beneath your feet. Since David called the Messiah my Lord, how can the Messiah be his son?
All right.
Okay.
And mine ends in 46. That says, that stumped them. Mm-hmm. Literalists that they were. So taking it for the way it was said. Mm-hmm. Unwilling to risk losing face again in one of these public verbal exchanges, they quit asking questions for good. Amen. They were stumped, so they stopped asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one will be where he's called, Jesus is called the King of Kings. And we see in Revelation 19, verse 16.
On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords.
Mm.
Amen.
And this was on his robe.
Yes.
And thigh.
And thigh.
Wow. Wow.
Amen.
Oh, that's the rider on the white horse.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is beautiful.
So this is leading all of us back to Jesus.
Yes.
Called many things, but in all of the names he's called, he's still God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He's still full deity. All right. Let's take a look. Any questions before we go on to section D?
No, I just love that. It explained it all itself.
Amen. Amen. Let's look at D. He claimed to be God. Perhaps the strongest and clearest occasion of such a claim was at the Feast of Dedication when he said, I and the Father are one, John 10 and 30. The neuter form of one rules out the meaning that he and the Father were one person. It means that they are in perfect unity in natures and actions,
mm-hmm.
a fact that could only be true if he were as much deity as the Father. The people who heard this claim understood it that way, but they immediately tried to stone him for blasphemy because he made himself out to be God. We see that in verse 33. How can anyone say that Jesus of Nazareth himself never claimed to be God, but rather that his followers made the claim for him?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the passages cited above are from Christ's own words.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, one must face the only options. Either his claims were true or he was a liar. And these claims are for full and complete deity, nothing missing or removed during his life on earth. So what do you think about that?
That's one thing that he does not lie. And like
right.
you said, it's his people first said that that he is God. Not him.
Right.
He didn't say it. They said it. But of course
right.
the other religious leaders didn't believe that when he said, you know, they thought because the people said that he must have told them to say it, but he
mm-hmm.
didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it for themselves because they know that when they was walking with him and ministering with him, so they knew that he was God and God. The Son of God,
mm-hmm.
but then you know, the Pharisees and all of them, they didn't believe it. They said that he was blaspheming because he was not the Son of God. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God anyway.
Mm-hmm. And it was considered blasphemy because of what?
Because they thought it was blasphemy. They said it was blaspheming because he made himself God, not God made him God.
Mm-hmm. Made himself equal to God.
Yes.
When he said, I and the Father are one. And we're going to see that in John 30.
Okay.
When you're ready.
Mm-hmm. John 30. 13, 19. Oh, 10 and 30. 10. Sorry to take so long. Okay. John 30. He says, the Father and I are one. Amen. That's very short.
Mm-hmm.
Short. The Father and I are one.
Mm-hmm. And it says, no one could ever get them away from him. I and the Father are one heart and mind. Okay?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the Jews wanted to stone him. They picked up rocks and they were ready to kill him.
Yeah,
because he said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to take a look at 33.
And 33 says, they reply, we're stoning you not for any good work, but for blaspheming. You, a mere man, claim to be
mm-hmm.
God. You see?
Man,
I that must have been, back in those days, was hard life. The people just,
of course,
didn't believe nothing. They have to see everything in order to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why Jesus said, and bless the ones who don't see and yet believe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at section 2, the perfect humanity of Christ incarnate. Denials of the humanity of Christ are less common than denials of his deity. Why? Because as long as you do not inject the deity factor into the person of Christ, he is only a man. However, fine or exalted, and as merely a man, he cannot disturb people with his claims so much as if he is the God-man. However, those who may readily affirm his humanity may not so readily affirm his perfect humanity. They may acknowledge him as a good man, how so if he lied, or a great man, how so if he misled others, but not a perfect man, for then they might feel more obligated to listen to him even though they may not acknowledge him as God. So
wow.
He was part of humanity. What does that mean?
I'm sorry, what the question was what?
What is humanity for Christ? He had characteristics of humanity.
I mean, like, he did everything like a human. He didn't,
okay.
Like, right, like a human and not, magical stuff. He did human.
He was flesh and blood.
Yes.
He was flesh and blood to the point that he was born of a woman.
Right.
Okay, the Father was the Holy Spirit, God, but he was born of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Carried for 9 months.
Yep.
Okay.
Went through everything that a human being goes through.
and more,
mm-hmm.
because he was deity, or
mm-hmm.
is deity. He's God.
Amen.
And they just didn't believe. So we're going to go to A. He had a human body.
Mm-hmm.
Though Christ's conception was supernatural, he was born with a human body that grew and developed. We see that in Luke 2 and 52. He called himself a man in John 8 and 40. Let's take a look at John 8 and 40 first, since we're
okay.
kind of right here.
Right deal.
8
right.
and 40. Mm-hmm.
40, 39, 40. Instead, you are trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. Amen. That's all he said.
Okay. Okay. All right, and now let's take a look at Luke 2 and 52.
Okay, Luke, go all the way back to 2, 13, 4, 2. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Section B, he had a human soul and spirit.
Aww.
The perfect humanity of our Lord included a perfect immaterial nature as well as a material one. It was not that the human nature provided Christ's body while the divine nature consisted of soul and spirit. The humanity was complete and included both material and immaterial aspects. All right? So what do we mean by material?
Like,
then we're going to look at Matthew 26 and 38 and then
like,
come back to Luke.
Like material stuff. He,
what is that? You can't use the word to explain the word.
I know. Yes, human soul. Oh. I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm. So material, things you could touch, you know,
mm-hmm.
you could touch his flesh, he could be touched, and he wore clothes, and he but at the same time,
and
he could walk through walls. Amen?
Amen, yes, right.
At a later point, he could walk through walls.
Mm.
So let's just take a moment to Google both of those words. Okay, first we're going to look at immaterial.
Immaterial.
Okay. So immaterial means, let me see if they have a spiritual. Okay. Is of no substantial consequence, unimportant,
okay,
irrelevant and immaterial definition. I was trying to see what it means in the Bible. Sometimes they have that definition in the Cambridge Dictionary. So basically, the opposite of matter, material, materialism, materialistic, all right? And one more thing before I get out of that. I really wish they had the way it means in the Bible. But
yeah, you're right. It just says unimportant
mm-hmm.
under the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Irreverent.
Mm-hmm.
Irreverent.
You're reverent, right?
Right.
Okay. Not consisting of matter, incorporeal, bodiless, ethereal, formless, incorporeal, insubstantial, non-material. So that way he could, again, go through walls.
Wow.
Amen?
Amen.
And see, the devil knew that about him, and he was trying to get him to jump off of cliffs and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, you won't hurt yourself. Jump, Jesus. The angels will catch you. Jesus was like, no, I'm not. That's not. You didn't write the script. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. So
exactly.
And so the other one is material, and that's got to be the opposite of being able to go through walls and irreverent and all of that. So let me go there though. Material.
The matter from which.
The matter from which a thing is or can be made, eat more or less any plant material, facts, information, or ideas for use in creating a book, denoting or consisting of physical objects rather than the mind. So the body, physical, mm-hmm. corporal, you know, his body as compared to being a spirit, immaterial, and able to walk through walls and such. Amen.
Yeah,
let's get back to
of a specified quality or suitability. He's not really Olympic material. Oh, wow.
So let's go to where we start. Okay, John 8:40, we read that.
Matthew's 26:38. We didn't read the scriptures yet.
Matthew 26:38. Okay.
Yeah.
Section B, 26:38, Matthew.
Yeah.
Thank you.
38 says, he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. So that was when he was in the garden.
Right, right. He was praying, right?
Yes.
Falling
asleep.
He was praying before what?
Before his crucifixion.
Exactly, exactly. The agony in the garden.
Yes.
Got friends there and they are no help, you know.
Nope.
But again, he prayed a long time.
He
didn't do a brief prayer. He prayed
That's
a long
why
time.
They kept falling
and,
asleep.
And he did it three times, if my understanding is correct. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't the spirit was willing but the flesh is weak, so they couldn't do it.
What he said.
Mm-hmm. And now we're going to look at Luke 23:46.
Okay.
Luke 23:46.
46 says, then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And with those words, he breathed his last.
And I'll read from 44. Thank you.
Okay.
By now it was noon. The whole earth became dark. The darkness lasting 3 hours, a total blackout. The temple curtain split right down the middle. Jesus called loudly, Father, I place my life in your hands. Then he breathed his last.
Wow. Mm.
What a day.
Yes.
What a day. And so now we're going to take a look at C, and I think we'll stop at section C. He exhibited the characteristics of a human being. So we just talked about he had a human soul and spirit.
Yes.
and now he had the characteristics of a human being. Mm-hmm. Our Lord was hungry. We see that in Matthew 4 and 2. He was thirsty, John 19 and 28. He grew weary, John 4 and 6. He experienced love and compassion, Matthew 9 and 36. He wept, John 11 and 35. And he was tested, mm-hmm. Hebrews 4 and 15. These are characteristics of true humanity. All right, wow. So let's look at Matthew 4 and 2.
Go back to Four and two says, okay, for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Amen. So that's a human characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
To and get hungry and to be thirsty.
John 19:28. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." Amen.
Amen. So he got dry, he got dehydrated and had to drink something.
Yeah, that's what
John
hot.
4 and 6.
John
yeah, John 4. 4 and 6.
7, 8, 4 and 6. 8, 5, 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tired from the long walk, sat weary beside the well about noontime. Yeah, that's where the thirst came in. All right, thirsty.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the weariness came
weary.
In.
Weary. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so why was he tired?
From walking.
Right.
They
exactly.
had to walk. They were, in those days,
right.
Well, he didn't have a donkey at that time.
Right. Some of them did.
Yeah,
some
but
of,
he
like
didn't.
You know, the Roman soldiers
yes.
had horses. But he borrowed a donkey. Remember?
Yeah, when he rode in Jerusalem.
Right. Right. When he came triumphantly into Jerusalem. Just before Passover, before he was crucified.
Right.
He came in a borrowed donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to take a look at Matthew 8
Matthew.
And 20? No, not there. Wait.
Matthew 9.
Matthew 9 and 36.
7.
Matthew 9.
Thirty-six. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Yep.
Mm.
That's where the love and compassion came in.
Amen, amen. And why did that so? Why was that so?
Because they were all sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he had compassion on them because they had no
right,
shepherd.
They were suffering.
Yeah.
They were suffering.
Mm-hmm. Suffering. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go back to John 11 and 35, and that's a very familiar passage. Do you know it offhand?
Nope.
Jesus wept.
Yeah.
No. And why?
Oh, why that's the shortest acting.
He wept.
Shortest scripture.
Yeah. No, verse.
Verse. 11 and 35.
Okay. So I read that. Then Jesus wept.
Mine is, well, it combines 34 and 35, and it says, Master, come and see. They said, now Jesus wept. And so what was he talking about here? What was it talking about here?
Lazarus.
Lazarus.
Yeah, remember
what
when Lazarus was in the tomb dead, and he'd been there for 4 days. And so in order for, he didn't do it for himself to show the people. He did it so that to glorify God. That
exactly.
He had power to bring back light, bring
the dead back.
The dead, right.
To resurrect the dead back to life.
Yes.
And now we're going to look at Hebrews 4 and 15. You remember what that says?
4 and 15? No. Ephesians.
Four.
Chico, I'm watching you. Yeah, when I'm not watching him, he gets into things. Chico, where are you? See? Just that fast, he went in the kitchen. So 15, like a kid, you know. This 15
yeah.
says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did
mm-hmm.
not sin.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And mine finishes with, so let's walk right up to him and
mm-hmm.
get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. That's
yeah.
what we all need to do. Walk
exactly.
right up to Jesus and
mm-hmm.
take the mercy and accept
take
the
it.
Help.
It's ours yeah. for the taking.
It's ours for the taking. That's it.
Praise
okay,
be
so we're going to
stop
close
at D.
here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to close here. It's 6 minutes to.
Yes.
Any questions about what we've gone over?
I love the way that it showed us that Jesus and the Father are one, even though
mm-hmm.
some people don't believe it, but, you know,
right.
like, back in those days, they didn't believe because they
mm-hmm.
thought that, you know, he was just another prophet coming in,
mm-hmm.
working miracles, but he was more than a prophet. He
oh,
was,
so much more.
Yes, he was the Son of God.
So much more.
Yeah.
And certain religions teach that they were in unity. Or in union and
union.
Not one body.
Yes.
You know, but that again is something that's up for controversy, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether you believe it or not. But I know I believe that it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's my belief. And nobody can tell
that's
me.
That's what I've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was taught. So.
Yep.
Anyway, when you're ready, I'm going to ask you to close.
Okay. Father God, Once again, we come to you as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you, thank you, thank you for this lesson tonight, Lord God, to show that you and the Father are one, and that you are the perfect human being. None of us are like you, Lord God, and we thank you for just showing your love and compassion on each and every one of us, Lord God, for wrapping your loving arms around us and drawing us closer and closer to you each day, each minute, each second, Lord God. Continue to let us read your word and to get to know you even more, Lord God. Bless those who need the blessing, Lord God. Heal those who need healing. Touch those who need a touch, Lord God. We ask that you wrap your loving arms around the parents of those young boys that drowned in the river, Lord God. We just ask you to watch over and protect our young people, Lord God, because they are our future. Right now, Lord God, we ask in humbly that you continue to love on us and to forgive us for our sins, Lord God, present, past, and future, Lord God. Let your will continue to be in our lives and guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. Bless our teacher tonight, Lord God, for such a wonderful lesson, explanation, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Continue to watch over her, protect her, and keep her safe from all hurt, harm, and danger.
Thank you,
Lord God. Continue to guide her in the work that you have for her to do, Lord God. Continue to give her that knowledge and wisdom to continue to teach us, Lord God. For those who don't know, Lord God, that they will come and just hear the words that is being taught to us, Lord God. Open up our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to perceive what thus says the Lord God. Let it be you and you alone, Lord God, that we look up to, that we continue to love on. May everything, Lord God, is just materialistic things that doesn't do us any good. It help us in a way, God, an everlasting thing, Lord God. Thank you for drawing us eternally into your fold, Lord God, and continue to be our shepherd, Lord God. We love you, we honor and adore you. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory.
Thank you for that fervent prayer.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
I really love the lesson tonight. That I can understand. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. How's Chico?
Chico is fine.
Give him a hug for me.
I will. He just won't eat the food when I put the vitamins in it.
Oh, he knows.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, he could probably smell it.
Yep. And he has a very keen nose. He can smell anything a mile away.
He can smell a vitamin.
Yes, he does. They tried to make it where that, you know, it wouldn't taste so nasty. I guess they didn't succeed.
Is it, a powder?
No, it's like a gel.
Oh.
Yeah. It's in a tube where you squeeze. The doctor tell me to squeeze it on my finger and let him lick it off my finger. Chico tastes it and he just like, you eat it. I'm not eating that. Yes, I have to take it. And what I do is I mix it with some peanut butter. The dog is so smart, he licks all the peanut butter off and leaves the vitamin right there. in the dish. I was like, unbelievable.
It wouldn't work in some water? Could you put it in water?
He won't drink it. I tried everything. I wrap it in tuna fish. I put it in peanut butter. I even took, you know, his little treats, and I tried to push it inside the treats. Once he bites it, that's it. He ain't eating it.
Oh, boy.
I was like, dog, you better eat this stuff. This thing is expensive.
That's some kind of horrible vitamin, and he won't eat it no kind of way.
Mm-mm. Tico is a very funny dog. Certain things that he will not eat or drink.
Wow.
Well,
anyway, I hope we get it somehow. Get it in him somehow.
Listen, if he get hungry enough, he will eat it. I mixed it in his food, so I don't give him nothing else. I tell him, give him no treats, nothing until you eat that food.
Eat the food, right? So that sounds like the solution.
Yeah.
Put it in his food.
That's what I did. I put it in the food, but he smelt it, and he's like, I said, I don't care if you walk away 100 times a day, but you're going to eat it. I'm telling you, the dog is too smart for his own good. But he's sitting there looking at me saying, okay, it's after 8 o'clock. Let's go.
He got to go for his walk, right?
He got to go to, that he go for his pee-pee for the night.
Yeah, for his walk. But anyway, I'm going to let you go. How was your birthday? And I'll end it right there.
My birthday was beautiful. My sisters, they came over, and they brought me cake and flowers and plants. And we had a good time. We really did.
Right.
We went to the Golden Corral and ate all we could eat.
Goodness. I'm glad you had a good one. I'm glad you
did. Yeah.
Many more, okay?
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
You too.
God bless you. Love you. Thank
love
you. And
too.
Have a blessed
evening. Kisses.
Hope to see you soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. Have a blessed night. Shalom.
You too. Shalom.
Thank you.